This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
So to even entertain the idea of this happening, of the United States of America not paying its bills, is irresponsible. It's absurd.
We're going to look at all of these options. You know, there is the option of government shutdown. There is an option of raising the debt ceiling in short-term increments.
If the House and the Senate want to give me the authority so that they don't have to take these tough votes, if they want to put the responsibility on me to raise the debt ceiling, I'm happy to take it.
I think that there is a way to avoid default if it requires shutting down certain portions of the government. Let's look at that.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke adding his voice to the debate over the debt ceiling. He thinks that Congress should raise it, noting it doesn't mean the government's going to spend any more money, merely that it will pay the bills it's already incurred.
The issue here is whether or not America pays its bills. We are not a deadbeat nation.
No, but we soon could be. Well, anyway, very pleasant good morning to you. Bulldog Brian Tilton here on this Tuesday edition of Bulldog Live. Oh, yes, and that includes Second Amendment Tuesdays, that's for sure. Very interesting. We'll have a guest joining Attorney Penny Dean, Mike Hammond from Gun Owners of America. He's an attorney with that group as well. Talk to you about the push going on the national level, and particularly the 19 executive orders that Vice President Joe Biden said that the President of the United States would be able to do to either bypass Congress or to just institute on their own. Well, anyway, the President held a press conference yesterday. He met his press, and it was very interesting to say the least. It was broadcast, portions of it were broadcast live here on The Pulse yesterday at noon. And it started off with a talk about the debt ceiling debate. And then, of course, it went into another issue that has gotten big headlines all across the, you know, the medium spectrum. And that is, you know, gun control. But first, let's hear a little bit more about a lecture from Professor Obama about the nation paying its bills, including a very strange analogy.
This is about paying your bills. Everybody here understands this. I mean, this is not a complicated concept. You don't go out to dinner and then, you know, eat all you want, and then leave without paying the check. And if you do, you're breaking the law. And Congress should think about it the same way that the American people do. You don't. Now, if Congress wants to have a debate about maybe we shouldn't go out to dinner next time, maybe we should go to a more modest restaurant.
He's talking about a Congress that bounced checks like crazy. Remember that? Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's a debate that we should have. But you don't say, in order for me to control my appetites, I'm going to not pay the people who already provided me services.
This is coming from a guy whose wife is trying to control the appetites of children in our schools.
People who already lent me the money. That's not showing any discipline. All that's doing is not meeting your obligations. You can't do that, and that's not a credible way to run this government. We've got to stop lurching.
Stop right there. Why did you take the money in the first place if you knew you couldn't pay it back?
From crisis to crisis to crisis, when there's this clear path ahead of us that simply requires some discipline, some responsibility, and some compromise. That's where we need to go. That's how this needs to work.
Compromise. Let's see here. We have $16 trillion in debt, and we can't afford to pay our bills. So therefore, we're going to borrow more money in order to pay bills on borrowed money. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You tried that in your household, didn't you? And what happened? You went bankrupt. Yes. Well, that's probably what's going to happen here soon, too. Now, the likelihood of it happening, I don't know. But it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Take a look at what other countries have done. But oh well. Well, we'll continue to get like, I mean, what an absurd analogy. Using the restaurant bill for crying out loud. But anyway, You know, what's he doing to lessen spending? Oh, well, he took two trips to Hawaii in recent weeks. And let me see. How many times has he flown the pizza guy in from Chicago in order to make him a pizza at the White House? Okay, sure. I mean, we can just start right there. We can take a look at all the bureaucrats throughout the executive branch of government that are providing what services? I don't know. We can take a look there. We can take a look at all the various programs. How much money do we spend in foreign aid? You know, we have people starving in the streets here, literally. And what do? Well, we send money to other countries for them to do what? To buy more guns, to buy more planes, and the like, to be used as weapons of war against their own citizens. And yet we're lectured about our gun rights. Which, by the way, that question came up with Jonathan Carl.
On the issue of guns, given how difficult it will be, some would say impossible, to get any gun control measure passed through this Congress, what are you willing or able to do using the powers of your presidency to act without Congress? And I'd also like to know, what do you make of these long lines we're seeing at gun shows and gun stores all around the country? I mean, even in Connecticut, applications for guns are up since the shooting in Newtown.
Well, my understanding is the vice president's going to provide a range of steps that we can take to reduce gun violence. Some of them will require legislation. Some of them I can accomplish through executive action. And so I'll be reviewing those today. And as I said, I'll speak in more detail to what we're going to go ahead and propose later in the week. But I'm confident that there are some steps that we can take that don't require legislation and that are within my authority as president. And where you get a step that has the opportunity to reduce the possibility of gun violence, then I want to go ahead and take it.
Can you give me an idea of what kind of measures?
Well, you know, I think, for example, how we are gathering data, for example, on guns that fall into the hands of criminals, and how we track that more effectively. There may be some steps that we can take administratively as opposed through legislation. As far as people lining up and purchasing more guns, you know, I think that we've seen for some time now that those who oppose any common sense gun control or gun safety measures have a pretty effective way of ginning up fear on the part of gun owners that somehow the federal government's about to take all your guns away. And you know, that there's probably an economic element to that. It obviously is good for business, but I think that you know, those of us who look at this problem have repeatedly said that responsible gun owners, people who have a gun for protection, for hunting, for sportsmanship, they don't have anything to worry about.
Tell that to the people
here
in
is
New
not,
York.
Whether or not we believe in the Second Amendment, the issue is, are there some sensible steps that we can take to make sure that somebody like the individual in Newtown can't walk into a school and gun down a bunch of children in a shockingly rapid fashion. And surely we can do something about that. But part of the challenge that we confront is that even the slightest hint of some sensible, responsible legislation in this area fans this notion that somehow here it comes and that everybody's guns are going to be taken away.
Well, isn't that what they want to do?
It's unfortunate, but that's the case. And if you look at over the first 4 years of my administration, we've tried to tighten up and enforce some of the laws that were already on the books.
Operation Fast and Furious.
It'd be pretty hard to argue that somehow gun owners have had their rights infringed.
shall not be infringed.
Excuse me? Well, as I said, I think it's a fear that's fanned.
By who?
By those who are worried about the possibility of any legislation getting out there.
Talk to the gun owners and ask them what the fear is in the in the lines at the gun shows, and who's instilling that fear into people. Oh my. New York State, by the way, and we'll get to your calls in just a second here at 1-866-823-1077. I had to tell you what happened in New York State last night. The New York State Senate got a bill in his hands at 8 o'clock last night, and at 11 p.m. they already passed a gun control bill. And it is a confiscation bill, and it is a limitation on your rights. Here's an example. You know how everybody's been going around saying, well, you know, what do you need a 30-round magazine for? We should limit it to 10. Well, New York did that. New York limited it to 10. So did Connecticut. And guess what they're doing in New York? Now they are limiting it to 7. And if you have a magazine that was made before a certain date that was previously grandfathered, guess what? You now have to surrender it to the state, okay? Then they're going to do background checks for people buying ammunition. And they're going to do a gun registration scheme as well for rifles, okay? Anybody who tells you that we have nothing to fear, take a look at New York State. Oh, and the General Assembly, looking to take it as today. Here's an example. So now they've defined what an assault weapon is. It is defined as any rifle with a military-style feature, such as a bayonet or a telescoping stock. All right, here's the thing. Take a look back at history, folks. Let's take a look at history of how many brave men from New York fought for the Union with what? Rifles with bayonets. Okay? And let's talk about the bayonet charge at the Battle of Little Round Top in Gettysburg, which turned the tide of the Civil War against the South. Because up to that point, General Lee had won every battle. And then at that was the turning point of the war. And that was a regiment from Maine who did that with a bayonet charge after they ran out of ammunition. And was it a rifle with a bayonet that also helped to win our American independence? But in New York, they're verboten. Oh, and a telescoping stock. Oh, that's really bad. So that means that the husband who has a rifle will not be able to share it with his wife because she may be shorter and she may need the telescoping stock in order to fit her hands and arms better. So now instead of having one rifle, now they'll have to have two. Smart move, folks. And if a magazine, if you're in possession of a magazine with a capacity between 8 and 10 rounds, under the New York law that is about to be passed, it would have to be retrofitted to hold only 7 rounds. This is just unbelievable. So don't believe anybody that tells you that, well, we just want to limit it to 10. Because in New York, they're infringing on even that one. But then again, what do I say? What the government giveth, it will taketh away. Jack from Manchester, you're on Bulldog Live. Good morning to you.
Hi, Bulldog. I think we're going to have to be all like the deputy sheriff of Mayberry, who had an empty revolver and one bullet in his shirt pocket.
You're talking about Barney Fife, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good enough for Barney Fife.
Well, guess what? That's a law. That's a proposed bill in Connecticut, believe it or not. There is. Listen to this. Proposed bill number 122. Here's the wording. It's one paragraph. The general statutes be amended to establish a Class C felony offense, except for certain military and law enforcement personnel and certain gun clubs, for any person or organization to purchase, sell, donate, transport, possess, or use any gun except one made to fire a single round. Or two, any person to fire a gun containing more than a single round. And any person or organization to receive from another state, territory, or country a gun made to fire multiple rounds. Or any person or organization to purchase, sell, donate, or possess a magazine or clip capable of holding more than one round. So there you go. That's a proposal in Connecticut right now.
Well, you know what? You know who you ought to see if you can't get as a guest on your program, the Bishop of Manchester, because I heard him say his favorite TV program is The Rifleman. And The Rifleman fires off multiple rounds at one time. But no, and the other thing is, you know, ideas have consequences and words mean something. And if you look at the wording of the Second Amendment, first of all, I think it's interesting. For the First Amendment, and those are, you know, they put those rights first for a reason, but it says those rights shall not be abridged. For the Second Amendment, it says those rights shall not be infringed, which means you may not even touch upon them.
Right.
But you know, you don't have to.
And look, Jack, at the time that the Constitution was being written, debated, and so on, there was a number of people who didn't see the necessity for the Bill of Rights. But it was a certain number of delegates who said, oh, no. Don't leave it up to government to assume anything. We, the people, need to make sure that it's perfectly clear.
Well, what the Second Amendment does not say is that a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of people to go hunting and target shooting in competitive sport shall not be infringed. No, it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And, you know, you mentioned, you said tell it to the people of New York. How about the people on the other side of the country in Los Angeles during those riots in 1992 after the Rodney King beating? You know, the rioters took it out on store owners who had to defend their lives and their property with whatever weapons they had.
The
people who had rifles, you know, in some cases used them and made it clear to the rioters that if you come here, you know, you're going to leave with some holes in you.
That's right. That's
first.
Right. And during the Watts riots, when the rest of America was burning in Philadelphia, they really didn't burn because the mayor got on the radio and television and said, if anybody decides to light anything on fire in this city, you will be shot. So somebody decided to try it. And guess what? They were promptly shot. Nothing else burned for the rest of the night in Philadelphia.
I didn't know that. But, you know, I remember in Chicago, remember Mayor Daley said shoot to kill? And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, and you know, of course Mayor Daley also said the policeman is not there to create disorder, he's there to preserve disorder. But
that's the Chicago way, I guess.
But no, you're right on, and you know, you're probably not gonna get the bishop to enter this controversy, but I think you have grounds for moral support there from a lot of quarters. And I think our Republican allies sometimes forget about the rest of the Bill of Rights, but they're pretty good on the Second Amendment.
There you go. And that's what we need right about now. So, Jack, I've got to run because I got to move on to my next segment here. So
okay.
Thank you very much for your
Keep
call.
Up the good work. Bye.
Will do. Thanks. Mike Hammond, Attorney Mike Hammond from Gun Owners of America, will be joining Attorney Penny Dean for Second Amendment Tuesdays right here on Bulldog Live, coming up next on The Pulse.
Now on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is Attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, where you can find them online at rileysguns.com. We'll also be joined by Mike Hammond from Gun Owners of America to join Attorney Penny Dean next here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
one shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live. And joining us right now is Attorney Penny Dean. Very pleasant good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as we await for Mike Hammond to give us a call here, we'll start with you. A lot of stuff going on. Where do we begin?
Well, you know that every good, every action, the world of physics, every action equal and opposite reaction, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the New York paper that published all those gun permit holder names?
Yes.
And you know that someone took all of the executives from that newspaper and published their names and their home addresses.
That's right, they did.
Well, everyone has asked us repeatedly, could that happen in New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
And we always say that we have RSA 159-6A that prevents that from happening.
Good.
Now, we did that long time ago. In other words, gun owners of New Hampshire and others have been thinking for years. We as an organization, supported and educated and informed our members about this in 1979.
It was that long ago.
1979 is when that law was passed.
Wow.
Absolutely. So in other words, New Hampshire firearm owners have been forward thinking. We've never, we've always said, what if, what if, what if? And so that tells you that we've really been working ahead of the curve. But I'll tell you what's happening today and what has been happening. I've seen it happen to firearm dealers who are clients of mine. And Gun Owners of America just put an alert out on this, that the ATF is going into gun stores and photocopying 4473s. Now, that's against the law. But
I was just going to ask.
But here's the whole thing. If these gun store owners don't stop them from doing that, they get to do it. It's like everything else. If you don't assert your rights. So here's what I've got to tell people. Two things you need to think about. Number one, that allows them to create that illegal gun owner database, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but more importantly, let's talk about what's more important. Every one of us needs to be going into our own firearm dealer and saying to them, do you allow the ATF to do that in your store? Do you, because think about it, that means your firearms are essentially put in the gun owner registration database. Do you want that?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So every person who's listening needs to go and say, hey, do you guys allow the ATF to photocopy your 4473s, which essentially is my 4473.
Here's a question I have. How long is a firearms dealer supposed to keep the form 4473 on file?
They have to keep them a little over 20 years by law, okay?
Wow.
They're required to. But at the end of that time period, you know what they're allowed to do with them?
What?
Shred them.
Okay.
Now, but the ATF, because you know the ATF is a kind and gentle organization.
Just like the IRS is.
Yeah. So the ATF has been so kind and considerate to these gun store owners that you know what they volunteered to do?
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, rather than making those gun store owners shred those 4473s and making their staff work and their shredder work, the ATF has volunteered to come and take them off their hands for them and store them for them.
Well, isn't that very nice of them?
That's exactly. So anybody, again, who owns a firearm store, anyone who, who the ATF comes to them and says, hey, don't destroy those. We'll take care of them for you.
Sure.
Yeah, right. That's my point, is that not a good idea.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a good idea.
Oh, man. So what happened? Okay, for any of the gun shop owners that are listening right now, and it can be any number of them, if an ATF agent comes in and I know that typically, if they want to inspect the books, they pretty much, I guess they have free range. Yeah, okay. But to make photocopies of anything, what do they do?
That's an entirely, you just say no.
Okay.
Just saying, it's kind of like.
And they say, we'll shut you down right now.
They can't, though. There's administrative rules and stuff. It's kind of like saying, if you don't let us search your car, we're going to get a warrant.
Mm-hmm. I'll go get the warrant.
Go get the warrant. So it's the same thing. And I understand that this is the regulatory agency. But somebody somewhere has to stand up to them. And I do have stores. I was actually called to the scene of a particular firearm owner store that I represented. And the two ATF agents showed up. And the first thing I did before they got in the door says, I want your badges. They looked at me. I said, I need to see your badges.
Yep.
I said, I need to see your business cards, and I need to see your photo ID to make sure they all match.
Uh-huh.
that's before you get in the door. And they flash them, and I'm like, no, 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 not flash them. I need to examine them. Okay, and I got their cards,
yep.
And things went from there. And they said, and that particular client wanted me there the entire time, which I was. And they
smart
said,
smart client.
Yeah, yeah. They said, well, you know, you're going to sit here all day and watch us? I said, absolutely. You can't interfere in our investigation. I said, I'm not interfering one bit. I'm sitting here, not saying one word, watching you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the answer is, no, you can't photocopy this. No, you can't do that. The only thing, you know, exception is if you've got an ongoing criminal investigation, you know, they can subpoena you to take a document to court, for example, if a person, let's say, lied on a 4473, let's say a felon tried to buy a gun and he was denied.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, they can subpoena the firearm store owner to take that original 4473 to court and testify. But they cannot take these original documents. Now, they can try and buffalo you, but when I've asked more than one ATA agent, I said, well, great, tell me the statutory or administrative authority for what you want to do. They go, because the answer is they don't have any in many instances. They just try and buffalo you the same as the police beside the road will say, you know, we're going to bring a drug dog here. You know, we're not going to let you go. You know, all those type of things.
Sure. And look, you know, and this goes with dealing with any agent of any law enforcement agency, and that is they can only do certain things that the law allows them to do, and it is appropriate for a citizen to question whether they have the ability to do that or not.
It absolutely is. Because the bottom line is they need to apply, you know, follow within the law.
Exactly.
You know, and the bottom line is, you know, I just received an email from Eric Pratt of Gun Owners of America who said that thought we were going to call them. And I said, no, you're supposed to call us.
Oh, no.
And so Mike should be calling in very soon, so I apologize for the snafu.
Okay.
But I had sent them information that Mike was going to call in, and he thought they were going to call. So hopefully Mike Hammond from Gun Owners of America should be calling in soon.
Very good. Well, Larry Pratt was on CNN a couple of times in recent weeks, and the first interview was very combative. The second interview was masterful on Larry Pratt's part.
Oh, my God. Well, yes. Larry is always, he's very, very good. He holds his own every step of the way, and I'm glad to see he's out there fighting for us because the bottom line is when it comes at the nationwide level, there really are very, very few people willing to speak for us or that the press will call.
Right, exactly. And look, I want to, before Mike does get a hold of us here, I just want to recap for you what New York State did last night. And I was talking about this before we went into our first break of this hour. And that was the law that was passed in the New York State Senate, which is Governor Andrew Cuomo's bill. They introduced it at 8 p.m. It passed at 11 p.m., goes into the General Assembly today, and that's they're debating it right now, as a matter of fact. Now, what this does is it is a confiscation bill, because if you have a magazine more than 10 rounds that was previously grandfathered, that's verboten. In fact, they've taken the 10-round maximum limit down to 7 in this bill. Down to 7.
Okay, what mag is for 7 other than an old-style 1911?
Yeah.
You know,
or a real tiny concealable, like a 380 or something like that.
Absolutely. The bottom line is that sounds like it's on a rocket docket of just incredible proportions. How quickly, how often do you see legislation go through like that?
Yeah, and any firearm with a bayonet needs to be registered with the with the state. And then they're going to want to introduce, they have a year to put into place an instant background check for buyers of ammunition, and large purchases will be reported to law enforcement.
Oh, my God. So that comes to another gun owner registration database so that the next round they can confiscate.
There you go.
You know, and that's really a huge, huge, huge issue.
But they're telling us that it protects hunters and sportsmen. And legitimate gun owners. That's what they're trying to say.
You know what? I would like for one of them to explain to me in what's called, you know, we have in law what's called the snicker test. In other words, can you say this to someone with a straight face? With a straight face, can you say to the judge or someone this is my argument. So I would like them to make an argument to us about how that protects hunters and sportsmen.
Yeah, exactly. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on the Paul. So 19 executive orders is what the Obama administration has in its hands to try to implement in order to institute gun control, bypassing around Congress. Isn't that it? 19, no less. Wow.
19 executive orders. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be unveiling this week. So how nice of that is.
So we predict, unless he's declaring some sort of state of emergency or some sort of thing that I just can't imagine would pass muster in the courts, you cannot get around the Constitution and Congress. I mean, I know
North Carolina tried that in a state of emergency after a big storm had gone through the state, and Governor Perdue issued an executive order that prohibited anybody from carrying a firearm outside the home. A guy got caught up in that order. He went to court and he won because the judge ruled that such an order is unconstitutional.
And that's probably, was it, did they rule based on the North Carolina Constitution or the U.S. Constitution?
Probably under North Carolina. I don't remember exactly, but I do remember that even in the case of an emergency, you cannot curtail your firearms freedoms.
And that is really important to look at, because here's what I remind people of what scares me to a certain degree of the courts, is during World War II, we interred American citizens, Japanese American citizens,
mm-hmm.
who had no evidence of wrongdoing, and the U.S. Supreme Court had no problem with that.
That's right.
That's what's really, really scary.
And rounding up American Indians and sticking them on land that no white man wanted. And then said, we'll take care of you. You'll be taken care of. And take a look at the poverty rates among American Indians. Sure. Oh, boy. Penny Dean, there is a, I don't know if we'll have time to play it today, but Judge Jeanine on Fox News Channel sent a producer out to the Journal News, and that's the newspaper that reported all the gun owners' names and addresses there in Westchester and Rockland County,
yep.
New York. Well, you know, they took armed protection for themselves, right? Well, take a listen to this.
Judge, we're here at the Journal News building hoping someone will talk to us. Why won't you talk to us? Can you tell me why you guys released the names of the gun owners?
I'm sorry, I'm on the phone right now.
Can you speak to us for a second? Can we come in with you and speak with you?
Thank you.
Why are you hiding from us?
Oh, I'm not hiding at all.
So why won't you answer the questions?
I'm the security guy here. I'm just looking for a card for you so they can have somebody call you.
A card for me so they can have somebody call me?
Yes.
Sure, I'd be happy to give you a card. Let me ask you a question. You're a security guard here, though, so why would you be wanting to work here? Wasn't your name put out on the list of people as well?
I have no comment. I just didn't ask you for a card so they can contact you.
I want you guys off the property.
Who can I ask who you are?
It doesn't matter. I represent the building. Please leave the property.
We're here at the home of the publisher of the Journal News, Janet Hassan, to see if she'll talk to us. Hi, Janet.
Door got slammed in her face.
As you could see, we had the door slammed right in our face.
We're
at the home of Cindy Royal, the editor of the Journal News. And as you can see behind me, there seems to be a guard in her driveway. Are you protecting this home?
No comment.
Are you a registered gun owner?
No comment.
Were you on the list that they released?
Thanks to our producer there, Nico.
So there.
A lot of no comments there.
Sure is. That was great. I like the guy says, we want you off the property. Well, who are you? I'm not telling you who I am.
No comment. No comment.
That's even better. I love those encounters. Get out of here. Who are you? I don't have to tell you. Actually, you do. If you're telling me to leave.
So the bottom line is now they're hiring armed guards to protect themselves from information that they published on other people, which they shouldn't have published. I mean, what the heck are they thinking? Because now every thief knows which house on the street not to rob.
And this has already happened because a 70-year-old homeowner has already been the target of a burglary where somebody attempted to break into his gun safe and his name and address was published on the newspaper's website.
Oh, my God. I just see that who the heck can I say? You know, what the heck can I say?
And the Putnam County executive was on TV last night. Also, that's the county that has refused to release the names and addresses to that same newspaper. And the county executive was on there basically saying, we're still not going to do it.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, again, Riley Sports Shop making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible here on Bulldog Live with Attorney Penny Dean. They're located at 1575 Hooksett Road. That's the Daniel Webster Highway. Penny, I think one thing that we could also look at regardless, and this is something I thought of late last night, and that is the rights of a jury. Let's say you get some of the worst gun control laws in the country passed through Congress or on the state levels. We could be looking at possibility of jury nullification, couldn't we, for people who are charged with violations of those laws?
Absolutely, and for the first time ever, New Hampshire passed a jury nullification law. And so that really makes a big difference.
And this is where the lawyers are allowed to tell the jury that they can judge both the law as well as the facts.
Absolutely. And in the past, most judges in many areas forbid a lawyer from making such an argument. And so we need more and more and more of those specific laws that allow lawyers to argue to the jury that they can judge both the law and the facts. And that's incredibly, incredibly important. But the problem is a lot of these type of laws are going to be taking away our firearm rights. The law itself won't allow us to challenge it on a jury basis because that's an interpretation of law for a judge. But if a person's charged under those laws, it will allow them to at least make that argument to the jury that the law is unjust. But that's a hugely risky and expensive procedure that person's now caught up in. It's a really scary thing to be charged with something.
Sure it is.
You know, it is. It's very scary. It's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly risky. People sometimes lose their jobs in the interim. They're under bail conditions that they can't have firearms and other things. It's really a horrible, horrible time in a person's life.
And it can take a very long time to get through it, too, even if things go your way.
Absolutely. A year to 2 years. The courts are just backed up, so by the time you're arraigned, you know, by the time you go through discovery, by the time you pick a jury, it's a very, very long time. And to a person waiting, it's incredibly long. You know, they really, 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 you know, go through some horrible things.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So maybe the jury could very well be our backstop to anything that would be trampling on our rights like this, because it would be very interesting to see how that plays out. We've already seen the jury, in fact, one of the first cases here in New Hampshire practicing jury nullification was regarding a marijuana case, I believe.
Absolutely was, and we got some gratifying results. But the problem is that with the type of executive orders that we anticipate coming down, no one knows what they're going to be. Those are confiscation things. You know, I expect them to be regulatory and confiscatory, which means it's a little different than charging people with things. This is just a little different posture, and I think it's going to be a lot scarier for a lot of people, because how many people are going to be willing to challenge it on its face?
All right. Well, Attorney Penny Dean, we have Attorney Mike Hammond joining us now from Gun Owners of America in the few minutes that we do have remaining here on Second Amendment Tuesdays here on Bulldog Live. Attorney Hammond, welcome to Bulldog Live. You're on with Attorney Penny Dean.
I call myself Attorney Hammond. Although I am an attorney, in my defense, I'm not a very good one.
Oh, no.
We are honored to have Mike as a guest on the show today.
Great. So, Mike, Washington, D.C., abuzz with the 19 executive orders that are being recommended by Vice President Joe Biden and his commission. And, you know, still, what's the possibility of getting a so-called assault weapons ban through Congress? And it seems like your organization is not very optimistic that one will pass.
It's complex, but let me shorten it. There's zero chance that the semi-auto ban will pass. We've killed it. Harry Reid finally buried it, put a stake through its heart and garlic around his neck when he said, "I'm not going to bring up anything in the Senate that's not. I couldn't pass the House." What is the danger is that we are going to have a magazine ban, which will in effect make the use of a lot of your guns at least will make them useless for the time being. The second danger is that we're going to have a universal background check, which the FBI and BATF will use as a basis for setting up a national registration system. Increasingly, the BATF is coming around to gun stores and saying, we want to Xerox all of your 4473s. At that point, it has a name of everyone who bought a gun at that gun show and has the beginnings of a list. In addition, I actually drafted the amendment for at least the first version for New Hampshire's Bob Smith, and which prohibited a tax from being imposed on Brady checks, and in addition prohibited the FBI from keeping the names. Guess what? They won't tell us whether they're complying with it or not. They won't tell us how they're complying with it. And at this point, the law is probably a little impediment to Barack Obama's doing whatever he wants. So at this point, the exercise, and people need to call Kelly Ayotte and tell her, no gun control. A magazine ban is as bad as a gun ban. The universal check sets up national registration. No gun control. None. Zero.
That's summarizing it quite nicely. In fact, you don't even accept the 10-round limit on magazines, because as we've just seen in New York State with what's going through the legislature there, they now have taken that 10 rounds down to 7 rounds for a limit.
Yeah, that would be a disaster for a bunch of reasons. Although a lot of guns are configured for more than 10 rounds. Granted that on, you know, everything from Sig to Glock to
Berettas
to,
and
Smith
stuff.
And Wesson and right down the line, they're configured for those. Now, as a result of California, there are a limited number of 10-round clips out there for those guns, but good luck getting them. I mean, if you can't go to Riley's and buy a large-capacity clip now, and I'll bet a lot of money that you can't, good luck getting a California clip.
Wow, it's amazing stuff. Well, Mike Hammond, we're about out of time, but Gun Owners of New Hampshire working very hard on the case and keeping an eye on things. How do people find out more about Gun Owners of America?
GunOwners.org. But really, contact Kelly Ayotte. Say no gun control, none.
All right, very good. Mike Hammond, I got to run. Attorney Penny Dean, thank you very much for participating today as well.
Thank you.
All right. And if people have any other questions, how can they get in touch with you?
230-9999.
And before we go, Dan from Concord sent an email. It says, hey, Bulldog, moved to New Hampshire from New York, and there is a greater danger, that article released by that newspaper, that affects great people. I have corrections officers that are friends working in the jails. They and their families are being threatened by inmates because now they know where they live. So there you go. Penny Dean, thank you very much. Thank you again to Riley Sports Shop for making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible. You can visit them at 1575 Hooks at Row. Give them a call at 485-5000. They're open 7 days a week, Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Thursday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 6, Sunday, 10 to 5. Penny, chat with you next week.
Next week.
Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse. Well, as we ran a little long with Second Amendment Tuesdays, we have another break to talk to go through before we continue talking with you at 1-866-823-1077. Brian at BrianTilton.com. We're going to change gears a little bit at the top of the hour. I'll tell you about it next here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Well, coming up on Bulldog Live, we're going to be changing gears quite dramatically because, as we like to do, we like to focus on our communities. Bob Jackman from LaValle Middleton Building Supply will be joining us, of course, in the second hour. But before we get to him, we always talk about making our lives a little bit better, don't we? Well, there's an opportunity coming up where I'm reaching across party lines just to help do that for some neighbors in need. And tomorrow night is a great event in Plymouth. It's called Keep the Heat On. It's a fundraiser and auction for a local fuel fund that will benefit a number of people because there's been an increased demand this year for fuel assistance. And it's organized primarily by Plymouth area Democrats, but it's a nonpartisan event, which is really good, which is why I'm able to serve as the auctioneer tomorrow night. And I'm very happy to share with you details. We'll be talking with the one of the coordinators of the event. She'll be joining us next year on Bulldog Live. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number, as we have lots of stuff to get to on the second hour of Bulldog Live right after NBC News here on The Pulse.